All right, tonight we're going to talk about how are we to praise God. How are we to praise God? 1 Peter 2, 2:9 says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Praise God. So we are to be proclaiming God's praises. The one who called us out of darkness, who rescued us from death, hell, and the grave. Come on now. And who's put us into his marvelous light. Hebrews 13:15. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. New Living Translation says, "Therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God." What are we supposed to be doing? One of the responsibilities of our lives, and the right and privilege of our lives, is to be continually offering the sacrifice of praise to God. Amen. Through Jesus, or in the name of Jesus, or by his authority. Amen. Through Jesus, our great high priest, we as kings and priests offer up praises to God. Amen. Sacrifices of praises. Proclaiming our allegiance to his name, it says. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So just briefly, what is praise? We said it a couple of weeks ago. Praise is the celebrating God as our heart's true home. 1 Chronicles 29:20. It says this, "Then David said to the whole assembly, 'Give praise to the Lord your God.' And the entire assembly praised the Lord, the God of their ancestors. And they bowed low and knelt before the Lord and the king." Sometimes we're going to find out tonight, you know, how one of the ways we praise God is we bow low. We on bended knee. Amen. Psalms 106:1, it says, "Praise the Lord, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." Amen. "His faithful love endures forever." Amen. Psalms 113:1 says, "Praise the Lord." Yes, give praise. So that's something you're supposed to give God. So you think about it today, think about your yesterday and Monday, or even Sunday. How much praise did you give to God? Now, this is something you have to give. He wants it from a willing, wanting to do it heart. Amen. He said, yes, give praise God. Oh, the servants of the Lord. Aren't we servants of the Lord?
Yes.
Are you a servant of the Lord online? Hallelujah. And so as we are created, called and commanded to serve God, one of the things we serve him with is with our praise. Father God, I want to give you some more praise right now.
Hallelujah.
I want to give you some more thanksgiving right now. Lord Jesus, I just want to thank you and I want to praise you. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
He said, servants, praise the name of the Lord. Praise God. So praise includes, we said, three things: commending, number two, expressing approval of or favorable judgment of. Expressing approval or a favorable judgment of. And number three, glorifying, especially by crediting with perfections, because God is worthy to be praised. Amen? The Lord is worthy to be praised. Praise by commendation, the first one we mentioned, is applying the promises of God to our personal situation. Applying the promises of God to our personal situation. And so we apply the promises of God to our personal situation. So what are you praising for? For his faithfulness to his word. That his word will not fail. That he's too faithful to fail. And that he will honor his word. His word will not return void. Come on now. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. If he said it, he'll do it. If he spoke it, he'll make it good. And you magnify him for his faithfulness and for his goodness and his mercy and his love and his kindness. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so you're shouting and praising him over his promises. Because his promises, his divine promises, are his divine enablements. In other words, we activate and we appropriate the promises by our praises.
Amen.
That's one we need to really get really strong in, good in, and proficient in. Praise by approving is turning our thoughts toward God. So when expressing approval, we turn our thoughts toward him and remembering how he has won our acclaim and adoration. See, the situation may be ugly, let's just say it's ugly over here. It's really bad, really bothersome situation over here. But we turn our approval and our verbal affirmation of what's ugly and what's bad over here, and we turn it to what? Toward God, and how, and we praise him for how good he is. We praise him that he's working all things together for our good. Praise the Lord. And we're remembering how he's won our claim. When, you know, like that one song says, I just keep falling in love with Jesus. I just keep falling in love. I just keep falling in love. Come on now. I just keep falling in love. Come on now. You're turning your love burners and love juices up on high, and you're loving on the Lord and saying, you are my mighty one. You're my you're the most high God. Come on now. You're the one, the eternal existing one. You existed before this thing came into my life. Come on now. And so I give you the attention. I give you the adoration. I give you the acclaim. And the fame, hallelujah. It is also reciting the wonder of who he is and how he has made a difference in our life and the life of others. So that's what you're doing when you praise. So what praising God by glorifying, the third one we mentioned, is simply recognizing and testifying to all the admirable qualities of God. And there's many, 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 many of them, right? And so as we honor God for who he is and for what he has done in our lives, we make room for him. We make room for him. Y'all listen to me tonight? You make room for him to work for us and in us every day. So you ask yourself the question, how much room did I make for God Sunday, Monday, Tuesday? Now, today's Wednesday. It's Wednesday night. But you can make room for him. If you don't make room for him, he won't take room for you. And he won't take time because he said, well, you don't want me. Now, when we talk next week, don't miss next week. Everybody say don't miss next week. Next week, we're going to talk about the why. Why are we to praise God? And it's going to blow your mind when you understand why. Why are we doing this? Why is it our responsibility to do this? And so God wants you to invite him in, but he rides on your praise. He rides in. He inhabits, the Bible says, Psalms 22, verse 3, he inhabits the praises of his people. So if you don't praise him, he's not going to come and inhabit or come and move and manifest or move or make or come into the room that you've made for him to come into. Hallelujah. When are we to praise God? We talked about that last week. We asked you to go back and take a look at that. In Psalms 34, 1 through 3, it says, and I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be where? In my mouth. My life shall make its boast in the Lord. And let the humble and afflicted hear it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name, well, together. Praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say glory to God. Hold on just one sec. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It has been said that there are two times to praise God, as we said. When you feel like it and when you do not feel like it. Any other time, you don't have to praise him. Is there any other time? Okay. And so the implication is that you are to praise God or praise the Lord at all times. Good times? What do you say? Bad times? Sad times? Happy times? Now, have you noticed most people when they're sad or mad, they just don't want to praise God. They won't move their mouth at all. They want everybody to know I'm feeling ugly right now. I'm feeling really out of praise right now. And so they don't tell their soul or command their soul to praise the Lord. But praise, friends, as we said, is to be a everyday part of your life. Praise is to be an everyday part of your life. No matter what's happening, whether you are having a low moment or a high moment, your focus is to stay on God. Your focus is to stay where? On God. What happens? We've always said this, repeating after another pretty established and known minister. The number one reason people fail is broken focus. And one of the biggest ways that the devil breaks our focus is through the deception of distractions. And he brings all these things into your mind and into your emotions and into your life experience to get you to lose your focus off of the Lord. You know, just think about that one scripture in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. So when your mind is stayed on the Lord, then you're in a good spot. Because he said you'll be perfected in peace. And in that peaceful state, you're just continuing praises. Hallelujah. Because no matter what's going on, your focus is on who? On God. But that's what your praise life is supposed to be like. That your focus is to stay on God. So you don't wait until church on Sunday or Wednesday night. Now, I can't overemphasize that enough, because too many times we wait until we get to church to try to muster up praise. Amen. Or participate in corporate praise in the church. It's too late. We got to drag you in, or you're going to drag us down. Let me just put it plain to you. We're going to drag you in or try to drag you in, and most likely you'll drag it up because the fire will fall and you'll be the wet blanket putting out the fire. Because I'm in a bad mood, I'm in a bad attitude, or I have not been praising God and my life is a mess right now, so I don't want to be opening my lips. I don't want to be lifting up my hands. Hallelujah. So don't wait until church on Sunday or Wednesday before you praise God. Come to the worship services with praise and thanksgiving. Where? In your heart. If you fill your heart with praise and thanksgiving, it'll be easy for you to participate in corporate praise and worship. So you make a faith effort not just to come to church with your bad feelings or your frustrations, or you wait for someone else to make you feel better. Somebody's got to pump you up and pick you up. Come on now. We've been around long enough where you need to get out of your mood and your attitude. Hallelujah. All right, don't let me have to come slap some of y'all tonight. Hallelujah. You're lucky you're online. Hallelujah. I'm in a slapping mood right now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This means that before you get to church, you're supposed to be praising God. So did you praise God before you came to church? Did you praise God before you got online? In other words, we all should be praying for the service and praising God in advance and in faith for and about the service. Amen. How many thanks did you give before you walked in the door? When you got in your car, were you thanking God or were you yelling at everybody else in traffic? I mean, the devil can distract you by bad drivers around you. Because he'll highlight, look how this bad person is, look how they're tailgating, look at this, look at that, look at, man, why is it stopped up here? Why aren't we going faster? And next thing you know, your heart is empty. You walk through the door and your heart is empty. So even before you get in the car, you're supposed to have had your private praise service. So that when you get to the rest of the church, with the rest of the church family, you're ready to ascend into God's presence with everybody else. Now let me tell you something. Write this scripture down. This is a reference. James 1:19. It says what? Let every man be what? Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to get angry. Why? Because the wrath of man does not work with the righteousness of God. It's a righteous thing to praise. When you're angry, when the devil's got you upset and bothered, you're on the opposite side of what God, where God wants you to be. The wrath of man does not work. If you're walking in with, you're mad about somebody or you're mad at something, you're not going to contribute to the righteous work of God in the corporate assembly of praise and worship. Preaching real good tonight now. Praise God. So when you get to, you have your private praise service so that when you get to the rest of God's family, you're ready to ascend into God's presence with everybody else. If you have been, if you have been talking to your soul, now that's part of what you have to do to ensure that you are giving God praise and giving God thanksgiving all day long, every day, frequently, regularly, or consistently. And so you got to talk to your soul. So when you have a bad thought, when you have a bad suggestion from the enemy to get mad at this person or get offended about this thing or to get upset and run all your words out in anger, criticisms, complaining, hostility, grumbling, gossiping, and all your words are out, and now you have no words of praise to give to God. But you got to talk to your soul throughout the week the way you're supposed to, so you won't need anyone to get your attention or try to stir you up when you get at church. Like I said, I prayed about it. I've been thinking about it. We need to come up with a praise meter. Somebody need to patent a praise meter so we can be a blessing to the kingdom and say and to the church and say, man, this will register, just like an app or something on your watch or phone. And your praise meter is low. Let's check your praise meter. You can get scanned as you come in church. You're on red, man. Brother, you got to stay out here. We got to get you on a gurney, and we got to get you exalted and elevated in praise. Now, what's bothering you? Amen. What's keeping you from praising God? Hallelujah. You'll be ready and eager to and ready to go. Psalms 122, verse 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Why was David so excited about coming to church? Because he was a praiser. He was an addicted thanksgiver. The Bible says David prayed three times a day. And then, of course, he said seven times a day, I give thanks and praise God's name. He had a lot of responsibility. He was a king. He had a big family. He had two wives. Come on now. Man, brother's busy. He was tied up. But he took time to praise God. And even God allowed him to record his own personal praise life and say seven times a day. Seven times a day. And that's what kept him glad about church. Glad about church. Some people sit in church and they look mad. They look miserable in church. It's just a telltale sign that you haven't been praising God and the Lord Jesus, who is the head of the church. Amen. Praise sets your temperament and your temperature, amen, and your thoughtfulness about church. That means you get here and you are so excited. You are so expectant. You are so enthusiastic. Praise God, because you've been doing it in your personal life. And you're ready to take it up to another level in the public corporate life of the church. Somebody say glory to God. So how are we to praise God? As born again Christian believers and Christ followers, we are to be the concert, not just attend one. What does that mean? In other words, like we said before, you got to be the music and not just come look and listen to the music. Some people love the radio. All they do is listen. It never moves their lips. It never moves their life. It only moves their emotions and their feelings. So we have to be the concert. In other words, you know, when famous singers come, you know, and I I don't even think I've ever been to a concert, but I always hear about, you know, massive crowds lined up, stand up, and people waiting in line to get in or get tickets. I mean, they are fanatical about getting to a concert. But church should be the same way. Well, we say, we don't get the chance to just come to a concert, just attend it. We get to be it. We get to put together some praise and worship to God, and God will inhabit this place, and the presence of heaven will come down and saturate this place. Come on now. And, of course, we get to be the concert of the concerts of the ages of ages. Because we got the very God of universe coming and dancing in our aisles. We got the Lord of glory coming into our church. Come on now. We got the God of the universe showing up big time in our church service. Glory to God. See, we are to be, in other words, we are to be and become the voice and the vessel of praise and worship. Not just come to church and just look and listen to praise and worship. When it's lift your hands time, you lift your hands. When it's lift up your voice, you lift up your voice. Come on now. We give God praise because we're not doing it for each other. My God, you really are off base if you're trying to look at each other and praise. You're not doing it for each other. We're doing it for the Lord. Amen. As we've seen in the Word of God previously, praising God is and purposely participating in corporate worship is our call and command. You got to remember that this is not a suggestion. This is a call and a command. So we're not just to gather to be an audience, but to be an army. An army of prayer and praise warriors. An army of prayer and praise warriors. When Josaphat in 2 Corinthians, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, was going to battle, he put the praisers and the musicians out in front of the army. That's why we have praise and worship up front. The first part of our service is what? Praise and worship. Why? Because they're out in front of the army. That's God's battle strategy. But we're praise warriors. We're prayer warriors. That's why we have pre-service prayer and corporate prayer. We are prayer warriors, but we are praise warriors. Praise is a weapon. Amen. We prepare the way for the Lord. We are not just to gather as an audience, but an army. In other words, we pray together, but we also praise God together. So how are we supposed to do it? How are we supposed to praise God? We shared last week, we must be careful and cautious not to come expecting something great in our public praise and worship if we haven't had any individual meeting with God first. Let's just put it, how do you know I'm meeting with God? Well, his presence manifests and moves you. We are supposed to be living from his presence and in his presence. We get our joy tank filled up in his presence. In his presence is the fullness of joy. If you walk around mad all day, upset, unhappy, irritable, you haven't been in his presence. Well, praise the Lord. Somebody say glory to God. See, your praise in your private life is what brings power and authority to your public experience. And we use the example with David versus Goliath. He was the only one in faith. Everybody else in the army of Israel was in fear. Hiding in a ditch 40 days. And David said, oh, I can get this guy because he'd been out there on the shepherd's field praising God when a lion came up. And God helped him defeat that lion. And then a bear came up. Then God delivered him from the mouth of the bear. Come on now. And he said, this same uncircumcised Philistine, I'm going to be just like the lion and just like the bear. I mean, this nothing's too hard for God. Nothing's too difficult for him. See, private praise prepares you for public victory. Praise in the beginning of the day gives God room to handle whatever comes your way the rest of the day. So did you get enough praise in before you start rolling around and going around about your day. I suggest to you that you might have to get up earlier or stay in longer as your time and schedule permits to get your praise time and your prayer time in. You're not supposed to forget your praise, prayer time and your praise time. Amen. Amen. The Father likes praise, but it gives him the opportunity and the open door and room in your space in your life to come in. And he goes to work with you. If you're going to work, he goes to school with you. If you're going to school, he goes to do your business affairs. If you're going to do business affairs, he's going to run errands with you. If you're going to run errands,
amen.
Don't go with an empty heart that has no praise or thanksgiving before you get out in the public. I say it again, praise in the beginning of the day gives God room to handle whatever comes your way the rest of the day. Praise is how you make room for God in your life. Corporate praise is how we make room for God to move and manifest in our church, in our church services. It's just not some religious routine and ritual we go through. This is a responsibility we have, all of us. And like we said, we can't just lean on the worship and praise leaders and the praise and worship team to get us to where we need to be.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So praise God. Praising God has many forms, all of which have a common denominator. Praise is always extroverted. Now, we said it before jokingly, but I've repeated it from other ministers I've heard. We're not the first church of the frozen chosen. So in other words, sometimes religion has pushed out praise in their services. And everything's all formal and regimented and ritualistic. So there's no such thing as hidden praise or silent praise. Praise is seen and praise is heard. Just like faith and praise being one of the highest forms of faith, as we've said before, praise is one of the highest forms of faith. Praise can be seen and praise can be heard. Praise requires a heart full faith effort on our part. That means your heart's in it, not just your lips. You're not honoring God with just your lips, but your heart's in it. You're not just doing it to get attention, but your heart is in it. Some people are uncomfortable during times of praise because they think they're too dignified to celebrate God with abandon. Abandon means that you've basically forsaken everything you're controlling and hanging on to, and you abandon yourself to God. That's one of the definitions. You abandon yourself to God. Praise has to get to a place where we're doing it with abandon. That we're abandoning our shame, abandoning our sorrow, abandoning what other people may think.
Amen.
Come on now. We're abandoning things that we're trying to control. Some people try to control the seat because they got their hand gripped on there like a vice grip. Come on, you're abandoning yourself to God. See, our heart, our passions, our devotion, our delight, our focus abandons itself away from its own pettiness, pride, and personal problems to praise, glorify, and celebrate the Lord. See, we lay down that pettiness, that pride, that those personal problems, and we say, we just time to praise the Lord. Let's just let's abandon ourselves to praise the Lord. And so your energy coming from your abandonment is infectious. But let me tell you something. Your energy coming from your attitude of indifference or your attitude of, you know, they just don't know what I'm going through or what I'm dealing with. And that attitude is also infectious. So you're going to either, we said it before, you're either going to give energy and excellence and praise to the church and in the church environment, or you're going to take it away.
Amen.
You're going to be either an energy vampire or you're going to be an energy dispenser. Hallelujah. See, true praise comes from our heart and is based on our engaged relationship with God. Because, see, once you out of place with God, your heart's out of place with praise. In one of the Psalms, it says, how can we sing a song of the Lord in a foreign or strange land? Well, the same thing spiritually for us. How can you sing authentically and genuinely from the heart if your heart's out of place with God? We always say, you can't deal with spiritual things, which praise is, when you got unconfessed or unrepented sin in your heart. That's why when David repented in Psalm 51, if you look at it and examine it, he said what? He said, restore unto me the joy of your salvation. And uphold me with your generous Holy Spirit. And don't take your Holy Spirit away from me. Amen. Somebody said, glory to God. One of the bishops I really like, and he's over in Nigeria, Lagos, Nigeria. He has over 400,000 members now, I think. When he started, he was small, and, you know, and Bishop David Oyedepo. And he said when he was small, he could see everybody. And he would sit up in front, and the usher would be next to him. And so during praise time, he'd be looking around. And so he'd looking around because he's all fired up. He's amped up, ready to go. But he's looking to see who's entering into praise and giving praise and who's not. And see, we don't do this much in American churches because people don't like to be bothered or people don't want to get people offended. Everybody's got their feelings on their sleeves, so to speak. And so we don't really dredge into this area a lot. But he did. In a young little church, he said, dirt floor, hay on the floor, and they shouting, and they would get into everybody shouting and energetic and going and praising God. And he'd look around, and he saw one guy. He was just like this, hands down, head down. Hands down, head down. That means what does it mean? What it meant to him, his heart was down. He was coded just like that. Just like that praise meter we're talking about creating. Somebody's going to create one. But anyway, so we that heart meter, that praise meter, his praise level was down, his heart down, his heart's out of place. So he calls him up after the service, you know, because the guy just looked dejected and looked despondent, looked like he was under depression or discouragement, had no joy. So he said, come here. He had his usher count his, you know, his usher next to him. Come. He said, sir, what's wrong? He said, nothing, sir. Nothing, pastor. Lying through his teeth. It's like people today, lying through their teeth. Anyway, but so he said, nothing, sir. He said, no. Tell me what's wrong. So he had his friends come up and try to pacify him and pity with him and say, sir, no, he's fine. He said, no, something's wrong. Tell me what's wrong, sir. So he finally opened up and told the truth. He said, yes. He said, I've been drinking. Because he had been missing from service for 3 weeks. He came back to church, and his heart was heavy because he had been in sin. And so they had to deal with the sin, and then it got him reconnected his heart back to God. Are you listening to me? See, there's telltale signs in the church service who's fellowshipping and cooked up with Jesus and who's not. Who's enjoying Jesus and engaged with Jesus and who's not. That's why we have to be, as Christian pilgrims, Kenneth E. Hagin says, we have to be quick to repent. We got to keep that repenter close, Because unrepentant sin will cool your heart down and make your heart cold and callous. And you don't want to praise even if your favorite song is on. You don't care because your heart's cold. Such abandonment, friends, as we're talking about right now, is what the Lord wants from us. Pastor Cynthia and I have already talked about it. We got to take praise and worship to a new level. That's why I'm mandated by the Lord. I'm under assignment to teach on this. We got to learn what praise is. We got to learn when to praise God. And we got to learn how to praise God. And we got to learn why we praise God. And we got to understand praise and worship and what do they mean. That's what we're studying. Amen. Somebody say glory to God. So God wants us such abandonment that, you know, it could be just two or three of us here. But he said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I. Amen. Come on now. And we're going to have a praise party. We're going to worship God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say, because see, that's the church. That's corporate right there. Two or three people is corporate. God wants from us full abandonment. So often we become self-conscious because we're not God-conscious. And that's the big deal. We've been so conscious of ourself, our pittiness, our pettiness, our pain, our problems. We don't have a God consciousness. And when we see God, when we stay on God, we see he's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be honored. He's worthy to be adored. He's worthy of all your praise. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Having a God consciousness. Yes, we may be feeling poorly, or things in life, our life may be seen to be falling apart. But this is precisely when we need to run to our Father. Whether we feel like it or not, ladies and gentlemen, we need to praise him. Come on, turn around next to somebody next to you and point at them real lovingly, point at them real lovingly with a smile and say, you need to praise God. I remember Trenton Hankins and Mark joke about their times, you know, Mark Hankins would say he'd go through different situations in ministry and headaches, heartaches, problems, people, issues in the church. And she said, Mark, you need to go in the living room and praise God. You need to go praise God. Because if you're grumbling and gossiping and complaining about your pain, about your problem, you need to go praise God. You need to go zoom out of what's wrong with you and what's wrong with your circumstances and zoom in on what's right with God. You need to look at this from a God's eye view, a God's eye view. Look at your problems, your pain, your pressures from a God's eye view. So that means you need to praise so that you can be raised to God's level and see things from his vantage point. See, the absence or presence of passion for God within us is naturally, within us just naturally becomes evidenced in our expressions of love, adoration, and appreciation. You can tell when somebody's heart's connected with God because they are like God.
That's right.
They've been around God. They've been in the presence of God.
Amen.
When you're mean, moody, mad all the time, got messed up thoughts. Yeah, don't shout me now. I'm preaching real good tonight.
Amen.
You don't act that way. You don't act like God. You act like something that's not of God. And so it becomes evidence in your expressions of love, adoration, and appreciation. So some people say, well, I'm so holy and I'm so righteous and I've been, and they're trying to do religion and they're not having a righteous relationship with God through their prayer and praise life.
Amen.
And you try to go do religion, man, you're going to dry up and blow up. You're going to be a brittle, bitter, bothered Christian. All right, let me give you all 10. I got 10 listed, so I'm going to give you all 10, and we're going to try to get a certain spot before we close. So I'm going to give you 10. This is not a complete list, but this is a major list of 10 forms of how to praise God. So I'm going to give you all 10, and then we're going to go back and go to the first one and do the next one until we have time to stop. All right, the first one is singing. Singing. Everybody say singing. Second one is shouting. Shouting. Third one is making a joyful noise. Now, that's so it can be heard. You don't want to make a joyful noise just in your head. Praise God. Remember, praise can be what? Seen, and praise can be heard. Okay, the fourth one is laughter. Laughter. Fifth one is thanksgiving. Sixth one is standing. Standing. Everybody say standing. The seventh one is kneeling. The eighth one is dancing. The Father likes dancing, ladies and gentlemen. The ninth one is uplifted hands. And then the tenth one, and like I said, this is not the exhaustive complete list, but this is a major list. So these 10 things we should be practicing on a consistent basis. Speaking and singing in tongues. Speaking and singing in tongues. Praise the Lord. Let's go back to singing real quick. Singing. Psalms 34, verse 4. Sing to the Lord, all you godly ones. Praise his holy name. Psalms 30, verse 4. Psalms 81, verse 1. Sing praises to God. Who are you singing to? Now, if you're on the stage, if you're singing, if you're a singer or a praiser or praise and worship team member, come on now, you're not singing to people. You're singing to God. And so your assessment comes from him. Your assessment is not by the people's faces or the people's body language. Your assessment comes from God. Because you're singing to him, so he has to be pleased. He has to receive your praise that you're offering. Sing praises to God. Sing to the Lord. Notice he said sing to, or sing praises to. Psalms 95, verse 1. Oh, come, let us sing, listen to it again, to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Sing to the Lord. Now, how am I singing to the Lord? Now, see, sometimes we sing about, but we need to sing to. Colossians 3:16. Let the message of Christ and all its richness fill your hearts. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God, with thankful hearts. When's the last time you sung a song to God? Well, praise the Lord. Let's keep going. Shouting. This is how we praise God. The Bible teaches singing. The Bible teaches us to shout. Look at Psalms 35, verse 27. Let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause. And let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified. Who's being magnified? The Lord, who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Praise the Lord. Psalms 98, verse 4. Shout joyfully to the Lord. Shout joyfully to the Lord. All the earth, break forth in song. Rejoice and sing praises. Everybody say shouting. You need to do some shouting. See, when you need to get tough problems out, tough pressures out, sometimes you have to shout it out. Hallelujah. Y'all remember the old shout commercial? Now, Smith Wigglesworth said this before he passed, before that commercial even came out. He said some Christians would be giants in the faith. He said, but they have no shout of faith. Why do you shout, sister? You don't shout when you feel like shouting. Because when did they shout? In Jericho. They've been walking around that city for 7 times and for 7 days. Sometimes walking a lot is a lot of work. Right? But then the Lord says, shout while the walls are still standing up. Everybody wants to shout when the team scores the touchdown. Ho, ho, ho! Don't tell me you don't know how to shout. Amen. Sometimes my wife will hear me in the other room. I'm shouting, oh, I'm coming off the bed. I'm shouting, my team. You all invested, right? Well, sometimes you need to, oh, glory, hallelujah. Even when you don't feel like it. Have a shout of faith. Not a feeling, a shout of faith. Make a joyful noise so it can be heard. Psalms 66, verse 8. Oh, bless the Lord, O ye people, all you bless our God, you peoples, and make the voice of his praise to be heard. Make the voice of his praise to be heard. Psalms 98, verse 4 through 6. Listen to this. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Now, some people get irritated because it doesn't say skillful. Mm-hmm. And because they say, well, that person bothers me because they're always singing and humming about the Lord and making noise to the Lord. But they can't sing a tune in a bucket. They can't carry a tune in a bucket. But the Bible says make what kind of noise? A joyful noise unto the Lord. He didn't say make a skillful noise. Now, on another scripture, it says play skillfully. But there he's just saying, make a joyful noise. Amen. All the earth, make a loud noise. Now some people get bothered with the volume. Because they want things, shh, shh, be quiet. Be quiet in church. We want to be like the first church of the Frozen Chosen. We want to be deep and serious. We want to be deep sheep. Come on now. He said, make a loud noise. God's not nervous. That's why we always tell them, turn the music up, turn it up. Why? Because God's not hard of hearing, but he is not nervous either. And rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and the voice of a psalm, with trumpets and sound of corn. Make a joyful noise before the Lord the King. See, God is looking at the joy in your heart and not the skill of your hands or the intonation of your voice. Amen. He's not just judging, you know, they hit the note wrong. There's a flat note. They went low. They crashed that line. See, there's a place for triumphant celebration and loud worship. That's where we need to get to. Laughter, laughter. Everybody say laughter. Look at this. Psalms 126, verse 1 through 3. When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with what? Laughter. See, sometimes when God turns things around, he just wants us to laugh and rejoice. And give thanks, come on now, and our tongues with singing. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. Now, if you're watching the news, if you listen to the noise, a lot of people are losing their joy. They're not laughing anymore. The Bible says a merry heart doth good like a medicine. Come on now. The Bible says in James chapter 5, is anyone merry, let him sing. We need to have merriment in our heart. Job 8:21, it says he will yet fill your mouth with laughter and your lips with rejoicing. We can expect God to give us a godly, good faith laugh. Come on now. Hallelujah. Thanksgiving. Everybody say Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. I'm just giving you, there's more scriptures on each, but I'm just giving you two or three to establish these truths into our how to praise God. Amen. Ezra 3:11, the first part of it says, and they sang responsively praise and giving thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever toward Israel. Psalms 100, verse 4. Enter into his gates with what?
Thanksgiving.
Oh, my goodness. Into his courts with praise. So we're not going to run into and give God all our petitions without our giving him first our praise. The password is praise and thanksgiving. That's why we say you should at least thank him 10 times for things before you ask him for something. Don't just run in and say, I don't, Lord, take care of this. Pay my bills. You know, pay my this. Pay my this. I need money. I need you to heal my body. Bye-bye. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19 through 20. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves and making music to the Lord in your hearts. And give thanks for everything. Give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Some people are hanging on to all the things that have happened to them this year. And you become unthankful. Now, the Holy Ghost says you got to get off of that turf. Because to be unthankful is an ungodly place. And to be unthankful is to have your heart displaced. To be unthankful is to fall from grace and stop running your race. So be thankful. Make sure your heart's full of thanks and give them from your heart of joy and appreciation to God. And you'll rise above the difficulty. The horrible memories that you have of what has happened, and you'll ascend far above. So give thanks, whether it looks good or feels good or not. Sacrifice praise to him in everything, and because he's good to you in everything. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands up and thank God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Makalia topasika ranakuparne itiro bokosana maelobania stukula bahate. Some have been unthankful because the virus is still here. Some have been unthankful because someone called them who's near and said, I've got the virus. But the Lord is saying to us tonight, by the Spirit, have no fear. So when you hear an evil report of the devil or of the world, give thanks. You should double up when the devil tries to fill your cup with unthankfulness and things to be ungrateful for. Because remember, it's been said, if you praise, you'll be raised. But if you complain, you'll remain. And I've not ordained you or this church or the audience that's watching to remain the same. So you have to rise up on your praise in spite of how you feel. And you'll see my presence and power and my glory will increase upon your life. And it will be so good and so real. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. No remake talaba. Shikele toprani no barini kitupa. Shikila mohota nakano mohu shikidi mokuba reniki moota maati osuga. I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on you to enter in to the place where we will meet and we will fellowship and commune with one another. And my glory will come upon you. And my presence will empower you and enable you. And it will take you through any storm, any struggle, and any situation. I'm waiting to meet with you. I'm waiting to commune with you. I'm waiting to inhabit and invade your world with my presence and my power. I'm calling you and I'm commanding you to do this. Yes, this very hour. The struggles will be over when your praises will arise. from your heart of joy and thanksgiving, you'll come out of that situation. And you will be godly and goodly surprised. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, just lift your hands and thank God. Come on, let's stand and praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You said you're not finished? No, the Lord finishes. It's his message. Hallelujah. He can interrupt however he wants. Come on. Well, I think we need to praise him for it. I think we have a praise debt that we need to pray God. We need to give to God. A praise and glorification debt that we need to praise God and magnify his holy name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We need to stand and praise. We need to kneel and praise. We need to dance before the Lord. God is waiting on you to dance, not when you feel like it, but when you have faith, hallelujah, to believe that he's going to enjoy and inhabit your dancing, hallelujah, and lift your holy hands without wrath and doubting. Praise me in your language and praise me in the spirit and praise me all day long and my plans and purposes, you will clearly hear it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And people will ask you, what's going on with you? Why are you so lit up? Why you have so much joy? And you'll say, this is the presence of Jesus. This is the presence of my Lord that he has for every man, every woman, every girl, and every boy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. They'll come and taste and see that the Lord is good because he's what he's doing in your life. That you're riding over the storms and struggles of life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Without toil, without sweat, and without strife. Thank you, Lord. Come on up, Brother Steve. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.